We just do the countdown. 3, 2, and 1. Syl is giving me the circle of death connecting to YouTube. Come on, give me the connection. Starting live. All right, offices of China Hall. It is loud. Let's see. I'll turn down your mic a little bit. There it is. We are enjoying our Monday morning. Just got here. I made it to the YMCA. That's where I like to go in the morning.
That's good.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel good about myself when you get...
You look good.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm excited because today I get to learn about a business. I get to learn about some individuals that I know honestly nothing about. We just meet each other up here at the China Hall and we just start gabbing and having a conversation. So I'm excited to learn more. I'll let both of you introduce yourself and we'll get right into it.
Yeah, well, my name is Jacob Wessel. I am the marketing director for Penn's Automotive Group. I grew up in Rochester. I went away for some time and then I came back and I never thought I'd be here, but I'm loving it. Rochester keeps growing on you the more time you spend here, and just keep getting connected with some really great people in town, finding some great opportunities. So yeah, I do a little bit of everything as the marketing director. It's always a different experience, always learning something new, but I'm very glad that I happened to get connected with Todd a little over a year ago, and it's just been a fun ride ever since.
That's great.
Well, Jacob is very talented, so good job.
Thank you.
Todd Penns, vice president and dealer principal for Penns Automotive Group. Born and raised, left for 4 years to go to college, came back, and started selling cars in 2009. And here we are now.
Where did you go to high school?
Mayo High School. Graduated in 2003.
Awesome. Yeah. Play any sports?
Soccer.
Huh.
Played hockey for a little bit to impress a girl, but then I didn't go far.
Did you grow up with hockey hair?
No. mostly it was soccer. Since I was like 4 years old. So it was good.
Jake, where did you go to high school?
I was at Century High School, 2011.
Oh, you were? Okay. So you're Rochester as well.
Yeah, yep.
And then where did you end up going to college?
I went to Liberty University over in Virginia.
For the marketing?
No,
this is a crazy story.
Yeah.
Let's get right into it. What's the story?
Yeah, so my background has always been music and ministry. That's what my parents do. That's what I grew up doing. So I studied essentially church music at Liberty. It had the component of the traditional music studies and also the biblical studies, and then had that leadership component. So then after that, that's what I didn't know what I wanted to do. I came back to Rochester, and then I decided to get into business. I started with rental cars. Then I did sales. Then I ended up connecting with Todd. And then the more I kind of look at my upbringing and the experiences, the more it all kind of fits together into this marketing role. Mm. So
when you say rental cars, was it like renting people coming into town and you have to find them a rental car for their week here or whatever?
Yeah, it was out at the airport. It was actually for Hertz car rentals. So you do kind of a little bit of everything there.
Mm, that's very cool. How about yourself, Todd? Where did you go to college?
Northwestern College up in St. Paul.
What did you go to school for?
Communications and a biblical minor.
Very nice.
Yep. Played soccer up there. And early on, I learned that you have to actually study to play soccer. So I grew up in college, and it was a good time. So
because otherwise they cut you from the team?
Yeah, you can't play soccer if your GPA is not very good. So, yeah.
Did you play the first year?
Or was I played the first couple years. I got hurt.
Oh.
And then... I focused more on soccer than school, and then I got reoriented and back. So that makes any sense.
And then after...
I graduated in August of 2000, or May of 2008. And I got married in August of 2008. And I worked for my parents' hotel at the Ramada.
Okay, yeah.
Right off of 52.
Yep.
And the hospitality industry is a very interesting and complex business, and not for me. So, let's see, 2009 in the summer, my dad owned the hotel, right? So he approached me and said, hey, how about you switch careers? You ever thought about selling cars? Because we had a long conversation about the direction and maybe we were going to move up to the cities because I interned for the Minnesota Timberwolves for 2 years. So I was going to do that, right? And he said, no, before you do that, talk to my buddy over at the dealership and see what you can do. So a couple interviews later, I started selling cars November 1st, 2009. November 2nd, 2009. And they had a Chevrolet, Cadillac, and Subaru franchise. And I just gravitated to the Subaru brand. It was a wagon. It was all-wheel drive. Top safety pick. So I became, a couple months into selling cars, I became known as the Subaru guy. And they sold 5-6 a month. And we slowly grew that to 20-25. And they built us that 3,000-square-foot facility.
Southwest, right?
Southwest, yeah. And we had two salespeople and myself. And we took that brand to 50 cars a month. And we had 6 to 7 salespeople, 4 people, like, in this little closet, and 2 managers. And we went from 50 to 60 a month. And we got to a point where we needed a 40,000-square-foot facility on 48th Street.
That is great.
And then going a little long-winded here, I apologize. But
the thing about Subaru is, like, I was thinking this other day. I was like, it's a Subaru thing, so you hear it's a Jeep thing. But, like, people that are into their Subarus, they are into their Subarus. They love them.
They are. They're definitely into it. It has a following, and we're thankful for that. So my dad and I went ahead and did a buy-sell November 15th of 2017, and we changed the name to Subaru of Rochester, and with the sole focus of just doing things better and helping people buy something rather than, you know, selling them something. And I wanted to create a culture where you felt good walking in the doors, because I know it's not a secret, but people hate buying cars.
It's intimidating.
It's intimidating. Yeah. The salesperson has to get up and talk to the manager every 5 seconds. And the transparency was not there.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to do things completely and totally different and flip it on its head. And so far it's worked. So we decided to take that and acquire more stores. So December of 19, we acquired the Buick GMC and Nissan store in 52.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
So really good. So Jacob's plate is completely full. He has to market all kinds of brands and people.
It was funny because Jacob was had his routine at the Subaru store. I just built him an office. He had his things going on, you know, one brand. And then I threw 2 more stores at him. So he gave me the little death look at first. But it's just not Jacob. It's,
I don't know if I remember that.
Not death look, but I mean, you definitely looked at me confused. Yeah. But it's just not Jacob. It's the entire staff there. Mm-hmm. They definitely had to, some staff had to work at, you know, all 3 locations. And the transition was, you know, a transition, right? But it's falling together. We got the pieces now. We got the people. And, yeah, it's been good.
Let's talk about some of those people, because I think that's one thing that's impressive looking from afar. Mm-hmm. And I know just a couple, but you have some talented young men that I look up to and what they're doing in life and what they're doing in businesses, I would call it. Julio, I've known for a while.
Yeah.
That guy is a mover shaker.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. One of my philosophies in business is hire really, really great people and get out of their way and let them do their thing. And that has attracted some really great people. From my my right-hand guy, Isaac Peterson, he came down from the cities. And then that led into hiring another guy, David Miller, as my more CEO, and to Jacob, to Julio, to all the staff, to the managers. It's been good.
And we have the infamous Tim Nella on board as well.
I was going to say, and Tim, you got Nella, Tim over there,
yeah,
too.
Selling cars. He's great, too. He's very involved in the community, and yeah.
And they work the internet. So that's what we were talking offline is like, I've used the internet to my advantage in building my career, my name, and just, it's our tool, right? And like, I see these guys working the internet as well. It's a way to get your brand or get your name out there, that like your father coming up in business. I wonder how he got his name out when he was thinking marketing and what he was going to do.
That was just, he got his name out by just being a really great person and doing it for a really long time.
Mm-hmm.
And then taking his resources and bettering the community.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't happen overnight. Mm-hmm. It's a long time, a long road. But he's definitely someone that I look up to and, you know, try to aspire to.
Well, and when you say that, it's like, that's never going to change, right? The reputation and the long haul and the hard work, that's never going to change. I think this internet component has added some fuel to the fire. So you can put yourself out there in ways that your father didn't have the opportunity. He wasn't going to pull an ad about, you know, what he was doing necessarily in the Post Bulletin. It just, maybe he did it a couple times, but it's just like, it was expensive.
Well, yeah. So before Jacob, when we acquired these stores, I was looking at marketing through all the other stores, and all the other dealerships now do a great job. Mm-hmm. They sell great products. They take great care of customers, but the marketing was just the same. It was generic photos on Facebook, and there was no human connection, no human element there. So I went ahead and hired a guy, and I told him, we're going to buy you all the equipment. And he was really creative behind the camera. I said, we're just going to do a bunch of videos that has nothing to do with the car business.
Heck yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
And we'll see, right? Just throwing Jell-O to a wall and see if it sticks. So we went ahead and did a bunch of rap videos. It's all on our YouTube page.
Is it really?
Yeah. I got into a canoe, and they threw water balloons at me in our little pond. Again, literally nothing to do with selling cars, and that was a great orientation to who we are and what we're going to do.
I remember looking at your website, and I was looking for your email is what I was doing, and just the picture, and I want to say maybe it went into the story of the individuals as well that are, and I was looking at the Subaru website, but again, just bringing those people out front and showing the people behind the brand.
So again, to jump on what you're saying, I went on all the other dealerships' websites and the staff photos. They're all just staff photos. There's no human element behind. Who is this person?
Right.
So I told Jacob, hey, we're going to do things differently, and we're going to do video bios on our staff.
That was it. Yeah. Now I remember.
So the salespeople have 10, 15, 20 seconds, introduce themselves and why, you know who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it's worked. You might know the metrics, yeah. But I don't really care because I feel good when I get on there and I know that, you know, they're introducing themselves to the world. So,
and that's one of the big advantages that I think we have as a business is a lot of the automotive industry is maybe 20 years kind of behind the mm-hmm. technological trends.
Mm-hmm.
So when we actually went to do that page, our website provider said we couldn't do it. They said like, it's impossible, but we kind of dug into it. We found a way to do it on our own. So that's one of the big advantages with not just the social media and the technology, but even the way we do our process, the way we incorporate technology into everything, because we're able to kind of innovate and create new trends. It's kind of the first in the automotive industry, especially in Rochester. So that's one of our big assets as a company.
You know, I grew up, you know, when I started selling cars, it was a piece of paper and a Sharpie, mm-hmm. right?
And it was a Subaru right out the gates, right?
And it was a Subaru, right?
Yep.
But we worked numbers on a long legal pad with a Sharpie marker. So when I got a chance to buy Subaru, we wanted to flip it on its head. So we purchased iPads for all the salespeople. We got the technology and the resources so we can be a digital company and less paper. So when a customer walks in on the door, they're going to be greeted with a person who is not only trained and knowledgeable, but has the resources to answer all their questions.
Mm-hmm.
And when it comes time to talking about what it's going to cost to own that car, it's all through the iPad. And then once they agree on numbers, they can sign it right on the iPad and then send it digitally to our sales managers who then process it into the F&I office. And we try to eliminate that back and forth because that back and forth creates distrust.
Right.
And what are they talking about? So we want to give the salesperson, the sales manager, all the resources and tools to be successful so they can close that deal, not going back and forth all the time. Mm-hmm. And then you're meeting the sales managers, you're meeting the F&I managers, you're meeting all the people right from the start. So that's another way to set us apart.
Hmm.
If that makes any sense.
Yeah, absolutely. Technology. Mm-hmm. I mean, I talk about the internet and its advantage, but technology and bringing that to a business that hadn't been using it in the way that they could. Mm-hmm. It's a competitive advantage. I'm sure you guys have as well. It's cool. Yeah. As we think about the growth, what would you share as far as some of the struggles with growth? Because I think whether you're at a beginning stage of business and you're just getting started, or you're at a stage where one is being successful and you're looking at the second or the third, what, there's comparables in growth and some struggles. What, you know, I like to bring that conversation forward because I think there's people that watch this that are thinking about getting into business, but they don't even know where to go and like how to grow and how to take that next step. What are some of the challenges, and then how have you worked to get over some of those challenges?
You can answer that one. I can go.
Yeah. So, I think one of the biggest challenges for a lot of businesses is obviously just taking care of your customers. If you look at like the fast food industry, they can acquire a customer and then get repeat business even in the same week. Now, this might be one of those similarities between kind of the automotive industry and then also real estate, is your customers, even if they're repeat customers, they might not come back very frequently. Mm-hmm. So one of our focuses is not only taking care of our customers while they're in the store buying a car, but before and after their purchase. But as you're trying to build up that customer base, you have, I think on average, 3 years between their purchases. Right. So you have to keep that connection going, keep offering value and service for 3 years when they don't directly need your services, except like every 3 months when they get an oil change. So I think one of those things is building up the customer base in an industry that has very infrequent purchases.
Yeah. Yeah, and staying in front of them and staying in front of them with things that are relevant, because they don't need a new car in year two, right? They need to be in touch in a different way.
And that's where our focus on the community also plays a huge role, because when someone does business with us, then their business ends up supporting the community. They can get involved with that. And then we like to share that on social media and then even like newsletters, and just saying like, hey, like, we know we're kind of done working with you for the time, but because you partner with us, you also have that impact on the community. So that's another way that we provide value, just kind of helping them support the community by using our time and energy to kind of take the value that we get from them and then also redirect that.
Yeah, that's good. What you got, Todd?
You know, I'd piggyback on what Jacob said and talk a lot about the employees. And one of the things that we talk about all the time is an executive team is we got to make sure our employees are taken care of first, because we don't want to be known as a revolving door business. I don't want my employees to think they're just a number, that we value them and we care about them. And then we need to take care of the customer and then the community, right? Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So the biggest challenge is employee development and growth, and making sure the employees feel connected in the store, making sure that their voices are heard and we care about them. And once the employees know that and they have the resources and the tools to be successful, they will translate that onto the customer. They don't need to wear a shirt that says, I love my job. They generally do, like, where they come to work, because they feel respected and they know their voices are heard. You know, culture isn't just about the cool things you have in the store. It's about how you feel when you walk in the door, right?
Yeah.
And so when an employee is, it doesn't matter if it's a detail person all the way up to myself, if the employee is generally happy with where the company is, where it's going, where it currently sits, they will take that and pass it along to the customer. So the customer is dealing with someone who generally likes where they work. And that will translate back into the community. Because once the customer buys a car from us or services with us, that's not the last time they hear from us. They're going to see us all over the community, sponsoring the kids' teams, doing fun runs, doing the Ronald McDonald House, Boys and Girls Club, having our salespeople go to the Boys and Girls Club and get balls thrown at them for a dodgeball contest in the gym. And then hopefully, you know, we don't do it because it's something to do. We do it because it's the right thing, right? And then they'll come back, and hopefully they encourage their friends and their family and their neighbors to come see us.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's – and it's a challenge to continually keep that culture in the direction that you want it, with the amount of energy that it takes to probably create and sustain culture. It's not something you can take lightly.
It's not easy.
Especially,
the second you think you figured it out, you haven't. and you need to constantly be improving it and constantly thinking in new ways.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes I get called the chief vision officer. And I don't directly work car deals anymore. But I want to make sure the culture and the vision of the store is where I want it to be.
Mm-hmm.
So if that makes any sense.
Yep.
And especially as we acquired these two new stores and we're learning all the new systems and processes and getting everything figured out from the business side, we have to be very careful to not let the community side and the customer focus fall behind. Because it's so easy to get involved with all the numbers and the metrics and the processes. But that's one thing that I think we've been very, very skilled at doing is taking care of those employees. Like even if they have an issue that's not directly related to work, like we want them to not have issues in their life so they can succeed at work, so we can all grow, so the community can grow. And that's been one of the biggest challenges is there's so many things to focus on, yeah. Especially with the new stores.
Yeah.
But we can't forget some of those most important things. So we purchased the stores December 5th, mm-hmm. right? And then we had an employee, like a Christmas party, like 3 weeks later,
right.
Just a big dinner for everyone. And then at that point, one of the things we talked about was we don't want to wait to get involved with the community to create that value. So even then, we talked about our first partnership with the Boys and Girls Club. And then shortly after that was when we sent some employees over. So it's one of those challenges because you know the community things and taking care of your employees are important, but you have to remember to not neglect that even when there are other things going on. Mm-hmm. And that's something that Todd has really instilled in the values of the company very well.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I like what you said, and I don't know that I've heard that as and I won't get it exactly verbatim, but culture is what you feel when you come through the front door.
Yep.
It's also what is talked about when you're out with your family or out with your friends. Mm-hmm. You know, how's work? That conversation comes up all the time. What do you do? How's work, right? And then it's like your response to that is a response to kind of what the culture and atmosphere is, I feel like, in your job every single day. Mm-hmm. And culture isn't a metric. Like you said, you get so focused on those metrics. Culture is so far from that, I feel like. You can't put a number on what that is.
And, you know, my executive team, you know, with Jake in the room, they know if an employee at one of our three stores is struggling, has issues, we're going to be there for them. Rather that's, you know, helping them out, finding them help, helping them with bills. That is a direct order from me because I want to make sure we take care of these employees and we don't view them as just numbers and a commodity. We value them as a human being and what they do for us.
Yeah.
And, you know, with the two North stores, the previous ownership, great people, but they were based out of the Twin Cities. So they weren't involved as much as they want to.
Like a local ownership group would be.
Correct. They couldn't be part of the Chamber of Commerce. So with us taking ownership, it was a kind of a clean slate. You know, they didn't do much TV and radio, and they didn't do any community involvements. So for us, it was like we weren't correcting what they were doing. It was just there was nothing. They were starting it.
Yeah.
So it's been a fun process, and the owner has never walked around that store and said hi to the technicians and said hi to the parts people. So when I took ownership, part of my deal is I walked through the whole store, all three stores every single day. So at first, some of these employees were a little distant from me. Because it's, you know, like, what are you doing back here?
Yeah, you're going to make some changes.
Their fists got right up. Like, are you going to fire me? Or like, I'm like, hey, if I'm going to fire you, we got problems, right? I'm not here to fire you. I'm here to say hi to you. How are you? Right? How's the family?
Yep.
And now, if I don't walk through, they tell their manager, hey, where's Todd today?
Yeah, what's wrong with Todd?
What's going on sick? Today? And so that's an awesome thing to hear.
That is neat. It's neat when you can go in and improve things that way too. You know, when you can go in and you can see some of those changes that you're doing and see that improvement come over time. It's fun to watch, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. Let's take a little right-hand turn. Let's talk about if you could pick one accessory to put on your vehicle right now, what accessory would you put on your vehicle? I already know what mine is. Mine is a backup camera. Mm. So there's a couple nice little dinks in my bumper. because I don't have a backup camera. And every time I look at it, I'm like, all right, back up slower. Because I back up to a trailer. So oh, that sure. that would be my accessory.
What's your accessory?
I love a heated steering wheel. Really? I'll take that over heated seats any day.
Yeah. Wow. Huh. I've never even thought about that.
Yeah. It's one of those things. It's not important to life, but once you have it, you don't want to not have it. You can't get rid of it.
Minnesota winters.
I'd say remote start. Mm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because whether it's 0 degrees or 100 degrees outside, you want to make sure your car is heated or it's cooled down, right? So.
There you go. The three accessories. How does that work? So if someone comes in and they're buying a car, do they have choices of accessories that you can help outfit them?
The majority of the cars that we sell has accessories from the port. So there's very few that we can customize on the truck or on Outback, right? But there's few, you know, hitches. A lot of them come with remote starts already standard, mm-hmm. already come with a backup standard. I think it's federal law now to have a backup camera.
Yep. Is it really?
Yeah.
Jeez.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, we can put sunroofs in cars. We can put leather if it's cloth. So there's a lot of things we can do. But a lot of the basic stuff like splash guards, running boards, remote starts, all that is installed from the factory.
Yeah.
Mm. It kind of has to... You kind of have to make those standard to be competitive. So there are some options for accessories, but like Todd was saying, they're generally like specialty items, like the roof rack or the trailer hitch, things like that. But a lot of these features that we probably grew up thinking were luxuries are now becoming standard. Even like mm-hmm. the keyless entry.
Yeah.
Most cars, you don't have to take the key out of your pocket ever. You touch the handle, it unlocks. Then when you close the door, it automatically locks, like things like that. And the industry, they have to compete with the other companies. So you have to make those more standard, but then you also have to give the customer options to personalize everything. So it's kind of a balance between those two things.
Is the keyless entry like turning into your iPhone too, or whatever phone you have? I would say you don't even have the key. Your phone is now your key.
Well, yeah, Subaru and General Motors have an app on your phone where you can start your car. From your phone, unlock it, lock, check the health status, all that good stuff. Gives you, if there's an engine light or anything wrong, they'll send you an update on your phone, and you can press a button and call the dealer.
As you can tell, I've never bought a new car.
Yeah.
Everything I've bought is used. Someday, I'm working up to it. So what is this saying? Is there a slogan for Subaru?
Love what you drive.
Love what you drive. Yep. So what's a good example of some people that love what they drive? I saw a Subaru. It was in the parking ramp downtown here.
Yeah.
It was white. I liked it. It had the tires with some character on it.
Yep.
Gold rims, and then had the roof rack.
It have wood trim on it?
I don't remember the wood trim, but I do remember the roof rack, and they had Christmas lights on the roof rack.
I think that was our good friend Luke Wass.
Yes, that's exactly who it was.
So he actually has an Instagram account just for his Outback.
Love what you drive. That's when you really love what you drive. So what's that Instagram account? I got to find this.
It's MN Outback.
MN Outback. All
and
right.
He's a kind of an amateur photographer. So it's not just pictures of his car. It's good pictures of his car on location up in Duluth. I think he was over in like the Badlands recently. So even if you don't love cars, it's an awesome account.
5,790 followers.
And he bought that car, I think last like March or something. So that's in less than a year.
That is sweet. So what's another good example of love what you drive? It doesn't even have to be Subaru, but what's some good examples of people that just love what they drive?
That's you. So early on last year when we were doing, we were getting ready to do the football club sponsorship. So that's another thing that Todd loves. You heard he grew up playing a lot of soccer. So we sponsored the Rochester Football Club. So we were creating an advertisement for their like game guides. And I kind of had this idea, and I was thinking, like, what do people really want in a car? Like, what's the most important thing? And the accessories are nice, the heated steering wheel, the backup camera, those are great. But for the most part, what makes people love their car is when it does what it needs to and it doesn't detract from the rest of life. So if you're always worrying about your car going to break down or you can't fit what you need into the car, then your car kind of becomes more of a hindrance. So we created this advertisement that said, you'll love what you drive when it allows you to focus on what matters most. And that's really the kind of the branding and the marketing of Subaru is they want their vehicles to support your lifestyle. So the all-wheel drive, they don't want you to ever be stuck at home. You don't have any like roads that you can't drive on. And then even the wagon, they have space in the back of the car. So that the love what you drive, it's not just focusing on the car itself. It's also how the car helps you focus on the other things that, frankly, I hope Todd doesn't get mad at me, and I don't think he will, but other things in life are more important than cars. And that's kind of what we're focusing on. Yeah, cars are...
Todd's like, cut the show. We're done.
Yeah, we're done.
No, but I feel comfortable saying that because I know he feels the same way. Like, cars are fantastic. They're so much fun. Like, look at Luke's Instagram account.
But yeah, it is cool.
we're involved in the community. Like, our cars support things in addition to just the cars.
And I think that's what made Subaru of America... Yeah. Where it is now. I mean, 2009, they were selling 150, 200,000 cars in the country, and now they're up 700,000.
Jeez.
Yeah.
And it's not because they do a bunch of commercials, you know, 0% for 72 and, you know, sale. They have dogs driving their cars. Like I said, not to sound like a broken record, but there's a human element behind Subaru that has made Subaru explode.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's not about, like, when I go to dealer meetings, they don't talk about net to sales or gross to sales or the retention. They talk about how we're going to treat our customers. You know, what are we doing to help the community and the environment, mm-hmm. right? And what's really cool is November 15th to January 2nd, they have a thing called Share the Love. And have you ever heard about that? Mm-hmm. And so there's five national charities, you know, parks, and then what other charities do they have?
A national dog, national pet dog. Adoption organization.
And
there's a cancer foundation. I can't remember the acronym.
There's Meals on Wheels.
And Meals on Wheels, yep.
And so there's one hometown charity, and we partnered up with the Ronald McDonald House this year. So every new car sold, a customer can decide. Subaru will donate $250, and we match $50, so it's $300. And they get to decide what charity we can send the money to.
And there's also the service component. Every oil change also contributed another $5. $3 came from corporate Subaru.
Yeah, so and the majority of the customers that we had through November 15th and January 2nd selected the boys the Ronald McDonald House. Hmm. So that was very exciting. So there's those things that... Partner up with Subaru is just, it's an honor. So,
going back to the question, what's another example? Is there someone, you don't have to name names, but what's an example of somebody that loves their vehicle and they've just, it's their thing?
There's so many.
Yeah. I mean, almost any Subaru owner.
Just that, bottom
for
line.
For sure.
Yeah.
Any Subaru owner.
So what's a good example of what they do? You know, like the Christmas lights just stood out to me. What have you seen? Like color-wise, are they...
Honestly, most of what I've heard from the Subaru customers, it's not anything like special they do to their car. It's just the car works so well for everything they need it to that they love it. There's a lot of
There's a lot of husband and wives. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of neighbors that so a Subaru customer will refer their neighbors, their friends, their families to buy Subarus. I mean, I have a house full of Subarus, and that's a normal thing.
Yeah,
right. Oh, I knew a guy that knew a guy that knew a guy that bought a Subaru, and I'm here to check it out. And that's normal. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah. That's why they love what they drive, because it connects them with something bigger.
And we have a delivery bay, and we have a little sign that says, love what you drive. So after the delivery and everything's done, and they take a photo with the salesperson, and they put it online. And I don't think there's too many people that have turned away. They've actually really enjoyed that. So
yeah. Now, I feel like your intention was a little more...
Individualized, but it's good.
Exactly. Yeah,
it's good.
Yeah. So to answer that a little bit, one of the biggest things specifically about the car is just the interior space. Like almost every Subaru, there's lots of interior space. It's designed so you can throw your hockey bags in the back. You can fit your skis and snowboard, your bike. So a lot of what people do is they put things inside their vehicles.
Yep.
So some people will always have their seats folded down so they can like throw their bike in. People camp in the back of their Outbacks.
I've seen pictures of
air mattresses.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a lot of those things. That's probably the predominant kind of customization that people do to their car because they love it. But then there's also a smaller kind of subculture, especially in Subaru, with like their sports cars, the WRX, the STI.
Oh, right.
And then that's a whole different ballgame. Mm-hmm. There's like a little strap that they like to hang off the bumper. There's different like third party aftermarket companies that they love to have stickers on it.
Yeah.
The gold wheels are very, very common.
And now I'm thinking it through. Like I was thinking of the Outback because that's the popular one probably right now. But people that drive it, is there a slang for it? Subi.
Subi and Subs and
the big muffler and the low riding and like, yeah, I can see it.
And the Subaru engine, it has a different sound. So a lot of Subaru owners like different mufflers and exhaust.
Because
it already has that characteristic sound.
I'm getting excited about a Subaru.
I know a guy.
Going on to the new brands, what are you excited on the new brands? What's some of the things that are...
Well, we have a truck brand, which is exciting.
Yeah.
And I can't beat the location. And Nissan has spent a ton of money on their EV. The Leaf.
What is that exactly? I'm not certain.
It's an electric vehicle.
Oh, okay.
And I know GM is getting into that as well. So it's exciting to not only the location, right? Real estate. You're in the real estate game. Locations, yeah. Everything, right?
Yeah.
But it's also the brands that are very exciting. GM is making, is producing a lot of great vehicles. And Nissan is right around the corner with coming out with new products as well. So it's very exciting to be part of that right now.
So Nissan will, and probably already is, be a player in electrical vehicles.
They already are. Hmm.
They have been for a little while.
They have been. And then GM just announced a Hummer. Hummer's coming back.
Okay.
An all-electric
But it's Hummer. All EV electric, yeah. Hummer. Well, like 1,000 horsepower.
Yeah, it's insane.
So that's coming out next year. So that'll be interesting.
Hmm.
So, yeah.
I like the look of the GMC trucks, too. It just has a different look than what you get in a Ford or Dodge. I drive a Dodge, and when I see the GMCs, it's a clean look. Mm-hmm. Very clean.
They definitely try to be that more, slightly more professional truck. Like they're going for the high end trucks. Like those are the GMCs.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And have you seen the GMC tailgate? It's not a traditional
1, 2, 3.
Yeah, you want to explain it?
1, 2, 3. I mean,
does it folds down three different ways? That's what I'm thinking. But
yes.
Yes, I think they call it a 5-function tailgate.
Got it.
So you have the main one, and then there's a smaller piece of that folds down in the middle. There's also a step that folds out. You can leave the big part up, but just fold down a little bit and have a little table to work on.
And so you can put speakers in your...
put your beer there.
Oh, yeah, put your beer there.
And you can put your speakers in your tailgate, too.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So it is tailgating. I was thinking. Oh, yeah. That's exciting. If you guys had to give any advice to just, you know, young salesmen, young entrepreneurs, women, men out there in the Rochester market, what would be some advice that you'd give them, you know, watching what you're doing over at the big team that you have?
Yeah, so the more I learn about marketing, the more I realize it's all about that customer experience. The word of mouth is always the best marketing. If you spend hundreds of thousands, millions of dollars, if you're like an international company advertising, but then the customer walks in the door, that can all go out the window. So a big part of the sales is making sure you're actually providing value to the customer, and then just the networking, the community, because the more people you know, the more people that realize you give value to the customer, the easier it will be to grow your business. And then it's almost not even a sale. Like you have something of value that your customers want. And as long as they know who you are, that's really all you have to do.
Yeah. Good advice.
Albert Einstein said that imagination is everything. It's the preview of life's coming attractions. So if you have an imagination, a goal to start a business, to get promoted from the company, don't lose that. It's really hard work. Surround yourself with open-minded people that want to see you succeed. The biggest dream killer is surrounding yourself with negative, closed-minded people, right? Mm-hmm. When you share them your goal or your vision to start a business or do this, they say, there's no way you're going to do that. How are you going to do that? How are you going to get the funding? How are you going to get the people? How are you going to get the business? You got to pay rent. You got to do this. And I don't surround my people with that. I want to surround myself with people who encourage, who want to help you get there. So my biggest thing is, you got a goal, great. It's going to take a while. It's going to really, really hard work, and surround yourself with some great people, and you'll be okay. You'll be good.
There you go. What a way to start a Monday. Thank you, gentlemen, for coming up here to the China Hall. Really got me motivated. I'm ready to get to work. Let's go.
Good. All right.
If people want to find out more about the Penns Automotive Group, about the different brands, where would you tell them to go online and check it out?
So right now we have a Facebook page for each brand. Just search Subaru of Rochester, Buick GMC of Rochester, or Nissan of Rochester. And then we also have the three sites. It's SubaruofRochesterMN.com. There's a Subaru in Rochester, New York that beat us to that one. But then the other two stores are just NissanOfRochester.com and BuickGMCOfRochester.com. The actual Penns brand is still in the early stages, so you kind of get a sneak preview of that. But we'll have a website and a couple other promotional materials coming soon.
Exciting. Thank you, guys. Have a great Monday. Have a great rest of your week, and we'll catch you next time.
Sounds good. Thank you.